Hi, I'm Mark Danson. I'm the Associate Vice President of Pastoral Leadership, and I have a couple of guests here that we're going to talk about how to honor a pastor, especially during Pastor Appreciation Month. But there are many ways to honor a pastor, and my special guest, A.B. Vines from New Seasons Church in the San Diego area, is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing well. We're new friends, but we became fast friends, as did our wives recently. And we started dreaming right away, didn't we, about how pastors can be honored in their church. And I knew right away you had some great ideas. And where'd you get a lot of those ideas from, A.B.?
Well, a lot of those ideas came from just the culture of being an African-American context. We do take the role of the pastor very seriously. It's not just a job. It's really a family role. And we want to honor the senior leader, the senior spiritual leader in our churches. And so in our culture, is just important to honor the man of God. And so that appreciation has been passed down through history, that you want to honor God's man who take care of his people.
Yeah, such a great, rich history of honor in the African-American churches. And other churches can learn a lot. And so I want to tap your brain about some of those ideas and share those with some of our listeners. But you also have a friend here. If you can introduce him for us, Richard.
This is my good friend Richard Springs. He's a buddy of mine. He's a road dog. We've been together for a good about 10 years now. And he's brother beloved. He's a brother from another mother, but he's my good friend. So Rich, introduce yourself.
Richard Spring, pastor at First Baptist Church, Hesperia, California. I've been senior pastor for a little over 2.5 years and on staff for a little over 9.5 years.
Well, I'm glad you guys could join us here. A lot of people know A.B. Vines because you're such a friendly guy and your large church impacts so many, but the thing I hear the most is that you have done what we all aspire to do. You've created a diverse congregation and have a diverse staff. Can you tell us a little bit about your church?
Our church was, New Seasons Church was started about 8 years ago. We merged an all-black church with all Anglo church, basically. And God did a great thing. God took a large African-American church and shrunk it down to about 100 people after we merged. We had reverse racism, believe it or not. A lot of my African-Americans left. And so I was stuck with 100 people after having almost 500. But God did a great thing. God took that core group of 100 people with those two churches, and now God's birthed an amazing church that's very diverse. Generationally, ethnically, culturally, and we're just having a great time. The staff's diverse, the leadership's diverse, the church is diverse. We do tons of ministry out in the community. We do a block party every year that feeds about 5,000-6,000 people. And we just enjoy the journey. It's been a great journey. It has been easy, but nothing for God is really easy. So it's just been a joy to keep the journey alive and get to meet people like Rich and serve those in the community. So keep praying for us. We're in a building project now, try to build a new building because of all the growth we're having.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Well, it's a wonderful church in a wonderful area, and I look forward to visiting you and even speaking at your church in Labor Day. And, you know, when a pastor comes to a church, we've talked about the difference in the experience in the average Anglo church. When you walk into a church, you come into a church, it's you have a reception of insiders and you go right to work. But it's a different experience in African American church, isn't it?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
It's a bringing in the father of the house, and it's a bringing in of the new leader. We celebrate that as a journey. It's not just a short term assignment. It's a journey. And my good friend Rich went to First Baptist Spirit in a transition, and Richard also got there, and he was called to be the pastor. And me, we got together and said, hey, man, let's do something that's going to make this significant. And I had the joy and the honor of installing Rich on his installation day. And it was the first one they ever had, and I'll let him tell you about the experience.
Yeah, I want to hear about it, Rich.
For me, it was when we had the idea to do this, it was something different. I was following a pastor who'd been there for 19 years, a very revered mentor of mine and a revered member of the church, not only the church, but the community, our state convention, and all those things. So it was an idea that A.B. brought to me just to bring to the church as an idea to put that transition, that Moses Joshua type of transition which I feel very much felt like it was that anyway, because I'd been on staff for a while, been mentored by him, so it really was a handing off of the ministry from one who'd been there to one that he had kind of brought up. I'd met Dr. Vines in San Diego, and so we met when I was pastoring down there. So yeah, the connection there was they'd already known Dr. Vines, his church, to come up and preach for the revivals we do every year, and so there's always been that connection. So to do it seemed natural. There's many things in the African American church culture that I think we in the Anglo culture could learn from. This was one of them, and so I wanted to have that come about. And so we arranged it. He kind of gave me the framework of what this looks like, and so then we worked with it. And I had my staff, because I felt weird planning my own installation service. I did not want to do that. I just said, just give me the layout and I'll hand it off to those who did it. And so what was funny about it is what ended up happening is I, through my own connections in ministry in the town, you invite the local community leaders to come be a part of it. Invited Vines and his church to come up to be a part of it. And so I ended up having my congressman, my state senator, my state assemblyman, my county supervisor, the mayor and the city council of the town that I'm in Hesperia, all these guys showed up and wanted recognition. You know, you got to give them their time as part of that. So that's part of it. It's worship. He gives the charge. That's part of it. And he brings my wife up. And that was that's the most intimate part. That's part of it, because he just really charges to you. This is your responsibility as pastor of this church. All the other stuff is pomp in the circumstance of the transition, letting the town know that you're a part of it and to do those things. But really, that's the intimate part of it between the church and the pastor. And you see that, and they get to see that, because the people who were in my church that day, there was non-Christians, a couple of Mormons. They were all in there, and they got to hear a Christian response to this type of thing and to be a part of it. My choir did a thing as well. It was a real big. And then we did a big reception afterwards. That was part of it. So, it really just it was. And then the pastor who preceded me, Pastor Wayne, he was there to kind of give a charge to the church as well in doing that. So, it really just helps to bring that about. It's a celebration of those things and a transition that was really good.
And Pastor Wayne was the former pastor of that church.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. That is a great example of honor, an installation service. And like you said, Rich, that's not something a pastor can plan for himself.
Right.
And another awkward spot is October. October, thanks to Focus on the Family and James Dobson, became Pastor Appreciation Month. And it's a great opportunity to honor pastors. But most of the time, lay people don't know how to do this. And here at Lifeway Pastors, we're providing some free resources on our webpage, lifewaypastors.com, to show you how to do that or to give that to a lay leader, someone in your church that might could rally that. And, you know, Dr. Vines and I talked about that awkwardness, at least in the Anglo settings, of how does a pastor equip his people to create a culture of honor for not just himself, but for other pastors. And so let's flesh out a few ideas of how we could do that, whether it's one Sunday, a whole month, an installation service. But what are some other ways that we can honor, encourage our leaders to honor pastors in our local church?
Well, I think one thing that how Rich and I started off doing it, is basically I came introduced that culture to his church.
Okay.
It's going to be difficult for the pastor to talk to his own church about honoring me, honoring himself. And so the one thing you'd have to do is build a relationship and have someone come into the church and say, listen, here's a great thing to do for your man of God. I mean, there's enough scripture in the Bible from Galatians on those who are taught the word must share the church with those who teach the word, Galatians 6 and 9. And there's enough scripture in the Bible to talk about how to bless your pastor. And he shouldn't do it. I should be able to come in there, or another friend should be able to come in there and say, listen, guys, we ought to bless your man of God by encouraging him. With the statistics of 1,500 pastors leaving the ministry a month, that's what I'm hearing from statistics, and our depression rate, our divorce rate, our discouragement rate, pastors need encouraging. And it's important to have someone come alongside a pastor and say, hey, listen, I'm here with you. And to invite them to share to, at their church. There's some things I can say to Rich's church that he couldn't say that I know helped him out because I'm an outsider.
Yes.
And he's my friend. I let them know, listen, this is my friend. Take care of him the right way. And also when Pastor Wayne was leaving, he said, take care of him the way you took care of me. He can't say that, but outside friends can, and I think that helped a lot. So just getting a friend to speak for you on your behalf is one way to get that thing done.
Let's flesh that out a little bit. I think that's a great perspective, bringing outside voices and outside friends. We've talked about the former pastor being one of those outside voices. What are some other outside voices, Rich?
I do a revival every year.
Okay.
It fleshed out, 6-7 years ago. We were sitting around staff meeting and just wanted to, what could we do to just kind of do, get a little pickup? And Pastor Wayne, the one who was before me, he was an evangelist for 15 years, been all over the world. And so I just, out of nowhere, because I'm not the one who flies traditional in a lot of these things, said, why don't we just do an old school revival?
Okay.
My thinking was, he knew a lot of guys up and down the state. It would be easy for me to put this together and be able to do that. And it fleshed as that. And so in starting that, and AB's been a part of it at least 5 of the 6-7 years that we've been doing it, you get to bring other people in and to see that and do that and to let them hear from other voices things that you're saying to them. And it's a light switch in doing those things. I think it's important for them to see how other churches honor. I've taken a busload down to Pastor Meisher's. He brings a busload up with him. So they see that dynamic in a natural just setting and not just coming up and putting on the clothes and all that stuff. So I think you have to create opportunities. And sometimes guys don't like to, and there's a lot of discussion about it. How often should you be in the pulpit? And the smaller the church is, the more you tend to be there and not want to give that up. But I think you got to be willing to let other people speak into your people and to know where they're coming from and trust them to be able to do that. And they can help you do that atmosphere as well.
On a personal note, my childhood pastor, Paul Powell from Green Acres in Tyler, he spoke at a church I'd served at for over 13 years. Just about a year ago, we had a building dedication, actually a whole campus rededication or relocation, a campus dedication, and he was a keynote speaker. So my childhood pastor blessed me in front of my church, and that opportunity, that building dedication, that campus dedication was the opportunity to bring him in. And some other pastors from the community came in. And that honestly was probably the highlight of my ministry, to have my childhood pastor there preaching to my people, feeding them, but also blessing me in front of my church. And everyone knows that men's number one need is respect. Honor's just another term for respect. And the Bible says that those who preach the word deserve double honor. And so we're talking about something that is right, it's biblical, it blesses not only the pastor, it blesses the first lady. And there's something about the first lady that the African-American church knows about that we need to let that secret out, AB.
Well, the thing is, again, it's about respect.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, when most Anglo churches, when you walk in the door, You're Mark and Richard. In the Anglo and African American church, you're Pastor Mark or Pastor Richard or Pastor Dance. It's that level of respect that we instantly have. And it's the same with our wives. Our wife, she's the first lady. She's married to the pastor. She's the lady of the house. She's deserved respect. She deserves honor. Because she has released her husband to serve the needs of many. And it takes a strong woman to do that, and they should be honored. At our anniversary, my wife was honored big time because, again, I let the church know, if it wasn't for my wife releasing me to you, we'd have a bad marriage, we'd have a bad relationship, because she's a partner with me in helping you and blessing you and being part of the ministry. We can have a flourishing ministry together, and the church can strive. So I think when the church understands the pain and the agony of the late phone calls, the traveling the wife go through with the kids and everything else during the early years, and how that woman would come Sunday after Sunday, smile, serving Sunday school, be an usher, be a greeter, and still be there knowing that hundreds of people talking about their husband behind their back and still smiling and being that woman, that deserves. First ladies are an amazing group of women.
Yes.
I mean, their early years in the ministry, my wife would sit, she sits on the second row, and they would sit behind her and talk about the message while I'm preaching, and, you know, and say, oh, and she would just sit there and smile and say, preach, baby, preach, and while the people in the back are slamming me, but she would just sit there and smile, and over the time, they were able to just admire her heart.
Yes.
Because she would never say a mumbling word. She would never say something discouraging. She knew it was, that was just part of the calling. Everyone's not going to like what I say.
Yes.
But she loves what I say, and so she just became a rock, and the women embraced her tremendously. And when we went over to the installation service, I made sure I honored his wife. I brought her down. I brought the kids down.
Okay.
And let the people know that not just you're just not getting this one man, you're getting this whole family is part of this thing now. Don't put the kids on a pedestal. The children are going to mess up. Respect the wife, what she gives. And so we kind of talked the whole thing through about this family coming to town and giving them honor. I don't think people understand the weight of all the pastors. That's why our numbers are so discouraging. And I think once we lift the call up again, those numbers will come down. So appreciating pastors and their families, I think is a great way of helping guys want to stay around longer.
To add to that, I think in the Anglo church, which in California, I have a hard time even saying that. If you're not multicultural in California, you got a problem. But to use the term first lady is a very hard term in the Anglo church for whatever reason that may be there. And that's unfortunate. My wife happens to still work, and so she does her ministry on Wednesday nights. She does Children in Action, and her ministry is on Wednesday nights. She works a lot of weekends sometimes, so she's not there every Sunday. But people know that because my context is one where a lot of moms do work, and to do that. So it's an interesting concept as we have talked through these things over the years and trying to bring some of these things in. There are certain titles and things that I know are a little harder to get into that because sometimes they think of it as a job, and it's not a job. It's a call, and that's what you're trying to undo in the installation service and the things like that, people understand. We throw the word called around a lot, but to actually make it mean something more than just we hired this guy to do a job for us is the really hard part that you're trying to communicate and move past when doing those types of things.
So whether you're in California or pastored, as I have in Texas and Arkansas and Tennessee, that you have to contextualize your honor. But honor is non-negotiable. And so whether the pastor is called doctor or pastor or he prefers his first name, the context is important. The same with the wife. The wife is half the team. And there's no healthy church without a healthy pastor. And there's no healthy pastor without a healthy marriage. We all know that. So she's the pastor's first advocate. So however, whatever the highest road is for the pastor and the pastor's spouse, now that's the road God wants us to take. So any final thoughts about honoring a pastor, especially as we approach pastor appreciation, any thoughts about a pastor out there would want to know, how can I apply, how can I help my church bring honor into my position?
Well, the first thing pastors must realize, it's biblical. You are not promoting yourself. You're promoting the call. Don't feel that you're not being humble. Don't feel that you're being self-centered. You're being biblical. It's right to honor you the same way you would honor your wife on your wedding anniversary. You would honor your wife on a birthday. You would honor it's the same thing, Pastor. So don't feel that by suggesting or bringing someone else in to let them know there are biblical mandates. You can't claim Philippians text where I can do all things in Christ, on the Lord will supply my needs, because that text talks about how that Philippian church blessed Paul, and because they blessed Paul, they could say, my gosh, it's poverty. Because the context was a church blessing his pastor. To teach them that it's in the Word of God, it's there, it's alive. If they would just apply the text and don't be afraid of their calling. Again, we're trying to get the call back to, of God's people back to the church and not just the professional part of it. So I do believe that as we encourage guys to let the churches know it's okay, they need to be honored, and I believe the church will rally around it. It's a great thing.
I think the one thing you have to do as you move in this direction is after you start instilling it, you as the called one have to model that continually to the people around you, even after the installation service. I just did I just ordained two guys in my church onto my staff, and part of that was I brought Pastor Wayne back. He's retired now and he lives away, but I brought him back and asked him to come give the charge, because all of us came to the church about the same time, and so we all were kind of reared under that. And so when I brought him back, I really do, when he comes back to the building, I feel like I'm back in my old role. Pastor Wayne, what do you need me to do? And you do that, and then you instill it through the service, and as we laid hands on him, and I gave my little charge of the church at the end after he did his part, I told my church, it's no longer Jim and Carlos, it is now Pastor Jim and Pastor Carlos. And that is how I need to recognize them in public and to inspire that and to continue that as well. Because they're both bivocational, but they are pastors. And they are now we've called them as the church as pastors. And we need to show that honor from the top down just as much as we want them to give it to us from the bottom up.
I want to thank Dr. A.B. Vines and also Dr. Richard Spring. Keep connecting with Lifeway Pastors, and we're here to bless you as you bless your congregations. God bless you.